Blog Talk Radio.
Can it be that it was all so simple then? All has time to be every line. And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me what we.
Shalom, fam. Shalom, fam. This is Yarael from Beth Yahweh Camp with another edition of Can It Be That Simple? As always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer, asking the Most High to open our hearts and open our minds so that we can receive the wonders and the truths of His Word today. We thank Thee, Father, for protecting us throughout the course of this week, allowing us to come to this moment to hear some truths about your word. We ask for thee to open our ears, open our hearts, and give us the understanding that you want us to have. We ask these things in the name of thy son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Amen. As mentioned, this is another edition of Can It Be That Simple? And thus far, we've talked about some different topics, but this one is, you know, going to somewhat wrap all the subjects we've talked about up. We talked about time, we talked about sin, we talked about death, we talked about peace, we talked about, and I think now we're going to talk about salvation. Because as we noticed, or when we first had the indication of time was put in place because of disobedience. And when that disobedience happened, it set off a chain reaction of different things. But in that process, we've come to realize that the Most High set something else in process when he did do this, when Adam did commit sin or was disobedient or missed the mark. And what he instituted was salvation. And I'm going to read a couple passages from a book that I have, and it's called Lost Books of Eden, Lost Books of the Bible, the Hidden Books of Eden. And in this book, I read in this book some years ago a couple passages that really stuck out with me. And it seemed like those particular passages would go very good with this particular subject matter. However, when you're reading books that's outside of the Torah, outside of the prophets and the writings, you have to be very careful with those books. And those books have to coincide with the Torah. So these passages that I'm going to read, I'm going to also follow up with Torah and different scriptures just to substantiate why I even read those particular passages. So, like always, I'm going to start off with a few definitions, and I'm going to reiterate to you that, you know, grab your Bibles, your notepads, your Bible dictionaries, your concordance, and follow along, all along, take notes. And at the same time, you know, have an open heart and allow the Most High to allow you to, you know, bring other scriptures to your mind in conjunction with the scriptures that I'm bringing to your mind. That way you can have a better understanding, because that's what, you know, that's what studying Torah is all about. That's what walking this way and walking with Yah is all about, following Yeshua. It's about getting understanding. It's about getting truth. Because, you know, the adversary is doing the work on people, and he's tricking people and deceiving people, and people are really believing that they're in the truth. But as the scriptures say, you know, you got to study line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And at the end, you're going to get the truth. And then getting the truth, you're going to hit the mark. You're going to be in that light, you know, which Yeshua made us to be. And that's what we're striving to be. We're trying to strive to be little messiahs. We're trying to be pleasing to the Father. And the way that we become pleasing to the Father is through Yahushua. So, we're going to go to the word salvation. And I looked that word up in a dictionary, Webster's Dictionary. And the two definitions that I have, one is salvation, which is a noun. And it means the saving of a person from sin or evil. Another definition that it gave was something that saves from danger or difficulty. So now, you know, we've seen some things in regards to, you know, what evil is, and evil is sinning, missing the mark. And the result of sin is difficulty, adversity. So salvation is someone, salvation is a person being saved from this. But this person has to do something to save someone. Now the other definition is salvage, which is a verb. And that is doing something. So the doing something is to rescue or save. And the definition is dealing with from a wreckage or from ruin. So when we sin, we ruin what Yahweh has created. And that is that perfect entity. And because he made man in his likeness and his image, or he made Adam in his likeness and his image. But what Adam did when he sinned, he ruined his perfectness. And so salvation was instituted so that humanity can get back to that place. Be salvaged to come back out of ruin. Like we have a scripture that that's stated, and it says how the Most High says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. So what is he telling us to come out of? Telling us to come out of that ruin. Come out of that darkness. And how do we come out of that darkness? We come out of that darkness through our belief and understanding that what Yahushua has done for us. Now, so from there, I went to the Hebrew. And the first scripture that came to my mind when thinking about salvation is the scripture in Exodus, when Moshe had just brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And, you know, they was wandering and they was in the wilderness. And Pharaoh decided to send his men after him, his chariots and all that. And so, you know, so the Israelites or the people that Moses brought out of Egypt were between the waters and the Egyptians. And so the people were getting frantic, and you had many people saying, hey, we should have let us stay in Egypt. You know, but then Moses said to them, stand back and watch the salvation of Yah. And so in that scripture, the word salvation, the Hebrew 34:44, which is Yahushua, and it means salvation, deliverance, health, help, save, saving health, welfare. And it comes from 34:67, Yasha, to deliver or save. And so, in dealing with that story, what is happening now? Now, Yahweh is about to deliver his people or save his people from the harm of the Egyptians. And if you're familiar with the story, he split the, you know, the Red Sea, and then the people walked on dry land. And then once the people got on the other side, you know, the last person stepped on the dry land, on the other side on dry land, then he closed the waters up and the Egyptians were no more. So then from there, I went to the Greek. And the scripture that comes to my mind is Matthew's chapter 1, verse 21. And in that scripture, I'm using the term again, which is save. And later down in the teaching, I'm going to read that scripture. So I'm going to read the whole scripture in its entirety when I get to it. But that's the reference. These are the two references that I have in regards to salvation. And then in both times, you know, you have one where the people are being saved by Yahweh. And then the second one is where the Messiah is getting ready to do his work, or the definition of why the Messiah even was sent to this world. Now, we're going to go to, I'm going to start my scriptures off. I'm going to start off in Romans. I'm going to start off in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And it reads, do not you know that to whom you present yourself as servants to obedience, his servant you are whom you obey, rather of sin to death, or obedience to righteousness. Now, I went to this scripture first in regards to salvation, because this is going to lead into what I'm going to read in the Forgotten Books of Eden. Now, as we know, the Most High, or Yahweh, told Adam not to do something. And Adam chose, of his own free will, to disobey. So, from that point, when he disobeyed, he sinned. He missed the mark. And as we read in dealing with death, on dealing with sin, that the wages of sin, or the compensation of sin, is death. Now, if he would have listened to what Yah said, or Yahweh said, he would have been obedient, and that would have showed his righteousness. So, now we're going to go to the Forgotten Books of Eden. And this is one of those, you know, one of those books that you can get a copy of it. You know, it has some really interesting information in it, you know, but like I said earlier, if you choose to go out and venture and get this book or read this book, be mindful of the Torah. Be mindful of the Word of Yah. Be mindful of that. And when you read certain things, you have to just, you know, go through it with a fine-tooth comb, because you want to, because the Torah is the authority. Torah is the authority. Now, I'm going to read it. It says, and this is, like I said, Forgotten Books of Eden, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, Yahweh said to Adam, I have ordained on this earth days and years and thou and thy seed shall dwell and walk in it, until the days and years are fulfilled, when I shall send the word that created thee, and against which thou hast transgressed, the word that made thee come out of the garden, and that raised thee when thou hast fallen. Ye, the word that will again save thee when the 5 days and a half are fulfilled. But when Adam heard these words from Yahweh, and of the great 5 days and a half, he did not understand the meaning of them. For Adam was thinking that there would be but 5 days and a half for him to the end of the world. And Adam wept and prayed. Yahweh explained it to him. Then Yahweh, in his mercy for Adam, who was made after his own image and similitude, explained to him that these were 5,500 years, and how one would then come and save him and his seed. So, in reading this, because, you know, when you read these forgotten books of Eden, with it, you know, with one of the things that I gather from it, it tells you some of the things that Adam and Hawa experienced when they were kicked out of the garden. Now, I went to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and it reads, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So I went here in regards to what the Most High said to Adam and how he will come and save him and his seed. Then I went to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. And it reads, For Yahweh is our judge, for Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king, he will save us. So these are things that we as believers understand now. So these are also some things that he explained to Adam. James chapter 4, verse 12. And these scriptures that I'm reading are all just to support some of the things that we read in the forgotten books of Eden. James chapter 4, verse 12. The only real lawgiver and judge is he who is able to save or to destroy. Who are you to sit in judgment of your fellow man? So we as individuals, we as humanity, we can't judge anyone. Can't judge anyone. Because, as it says, humanity is sinful. Our carnal nature thinks about doing evil habitually. So from there, I went to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads, For most certainly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not even one smallest letter or the tiniest pen stroke shall any way pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. So as we read up there in the lost books, something has to be accomplished first. Something has to be accomplished first. And from there, I went to another passage within the Forgotten Books of Eden. And this is in chapter 14. And I'm going to read again verses 1 through 6. And it reads, Then Adam said unto Yahweh, O Elohim, take thou my soul, and let me not see this gloom any more, or remove me to some place where there is no darkness. So right here is letting you know that when Adam fell, he fell into a level of darkness because now he was no longer able to see the Most High. His eyes have been darkened to that element that he once experienced. And he's asking the Most High to, you know, just, you know, remove me to some place where there is no darkness. But Yahweh Elohim said to Adam, "Verily I say unto thee, this darkness will pass from thee. Every day I have determined for thee unto the fulfillment of my covenant, when I will save thee and bring thee back into the garden and into the abode of the light thou longest for, wherein is no darkness. I will bring thee to it in the kingdom of heaven." Again said Yahweh unto Adam, "All this misery that thou hast been made to take upon thee because of thy transgressions will not free thee from the hands of Satan and will not save thee, but I will, when I shall come down from heaven and shall become flesh of thy seed and take upon me the infirmities from which thou sufferest. Then the darkness that came upon thee and this cave shall come upon me in the grave when I am in the flesh of thy seed. And I, who am without years, shall be subject to the reckoning of years, of time, of months, of days, and I shall be reckoned as one of the sons of men in order to save thee." And Yahweh ceased to commune with Adam. So from here is letting you know that Yahweh had given the thought of salvation to Adam. So it's been taught in regards to salvation, a hope of making it back into the garden, a hope of not being in darkness any longer. So this has been passed down. This has been passed down. So we go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. And this, when you get into, if you know, in some of your Bibles, it may refer to this as the kinsman redemption. And what happened was we see that Adam, you know, sold himself because he gave up his rights as being the first man. He gave up his right and gave it over to HaSatan because he obeyed HaSatan and did not obey Yahweh. So Leviticus chapter 25, verses 25. It says, "If your brother becomes poor and sells some of his possessions, then his kinsman who is next to him shall come and redeem that which his brother has sold." So, as we know, in order for Adam to be redeemed, he had to be redeemed by someone on the same level as he was. So we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and it reads, "In whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." So from here, we're going to go to Matthew, because we're seeing that this kinsman is going to redeem him through his blood. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. And it says, "Now the birth of Yahushua was like this. For after his mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, intended to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of Yah appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to yourself Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Yahushua, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins." Excuse me. So earlier we read the definition for save. And that was, I'm going to reiterate that, and that was in your Greek lexicon, 4982. And is sozo, and that means I save, heal, preserve, rescue, be made whole. So from there, what is this saying? It's saying Yeshua shall save his people. Yeshua shall make his people whole from their sins. And how is he going to make them whole? Going to go to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 8. And it reads, "I will cleanse them from all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, which they have transgressed against me." Then I went to Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquity underfoot, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." See, these are the things that Yeshua is going to do for us. And how do we do these things? By being obedient to his word, to his truth, and by believing and understanding that through his spilled blood that this is going to be done. Then he went to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. "Do this, knowing the time that is already, do this knowing the time that it is already time for you to awaken out of sleep. For salvation is now nearer to us than when we first believed." Just like I said earlier, "Come out of her, my people." It says, awaken out of sleep. Sleep is symbolic of death. So he wants us to wake up out of our sleep. For salvation, our salvation is here. Is near to us than we believe, than we first believe. Why? Because the more we engage in studying the Word of Yah, the more we engage in practicing the Word of Yah, the more we obedient, the closer at the reality of perfection comes closer to us. Why? Because now we're acting and doing the things of what Yeshua has done for us. Then from there, I went to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 4 to 11. See, because there were certain things that was instituted throughout the scriptures to symbolic the getting rid of sin. But Yahweh understood the hardness of men's hearts and that sometimes men just do things for the sake of doing them and not doing them for the reason behind why they're being done. Because, you know, when we deal with the sacrificial system, that's one of the, you know, that was put in place for a time to give us an understanding of what sin is, you know, what sin is, and how through the killing of animals as a sacrifice, putting that sin on them. But that didn't prevent anyone from continuing the sin. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 10, and it reads, "For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but you prepared a body for me. You had no pleasure in the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scrolls of the books. It is written of me to do your will, O Yah. Previously saying sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you desired, you did not desire, neither had pleasure in them. Those which are offered according to the law. Then he has said, behold, I have come to do your will. He take away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we have been sacrifices through the offering of the body of Yahushua once and for all." And when he says he took away the first, he's saying that he took away the sacrificial system, because the death of bulls and goats didn't take away sin, because people continued to sin. They just was killing a lot of animals. But when his son laid his life down for sin and taking sin on, that was the last offering. But then from there, understanding what Yeshua did for us, but then we have to go, you know, we're going to go back to the initial. We're going to go to Genesis 3:15. And it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." So, and looking at this, this is dealing with the offspring of humanity and Hasatan. Hasatan bruises the heel. He bruises the walk of mankind and doing the right thing. And the knowledge and the wisdom of the Torah bruises the understanding or the thinking that Hasatan is trying to put on humanity. So from there, I'm going back to that scripture that I read, you know, for salvation. I go to Exodus 14:13. And it reads, "Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again." So when we go here, when the people were down in Egypt, they was in a level of burdensome toil, work, and Yahweh was about to, you know, he pulled them out of it. First of all, he saved them from one aspect of it, and he pulled them out of it. But then, when the Egyptians came back upon them, the fear of the Egyptians came back on them. So what did he do? He had to remove them and rescue them from that fear also. So from there, I went to Exodus chapter 17, verses 13 to 16. And it reads, Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Yahweh said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under the skies. Moses built an altar and called his name Yahweh our banner. He said, Yah has sworn, Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So I went here and I looked up the word Joshua, and it means rescue. And I looked up Amalek, and it comes from a word that means toil. So Joshua rescued the Israelites from toil, and he slaughtered that. He slaughtered him and his minions by the edge of the sword. As they say, the word is symbolic of the sword. So that's something that we can understand, that Joshua, in the Hebrew is Yahushua, defeated Amalek. And we know that Amalek is symbolic of the adversary. This is just a tool or people that he used to make war with Israel or with God's people. And this goes back up to Genesis 3:15. Enmity between Hasatan and Yahushua. Because when we go back to scripture we read in Matthew, it showed that, you know, a woman had a baby without the intervention of a man. Because we know the natural process of a woman having a baby is a male and a female. But as a spirit, there's nothing too hard for the Most High. And so the Spirit impregnated her, and the Messiah came out, and Yahushua was born. That is that body, as we read earlier in the lost books. That is that body that was prepared for him, in which he came into this world. Then I went to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. And it reads, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we read in this previous scripture, Amalek is symbolic of toil and being in seas, being burdened down. Yahushua is telling them, hey, take mine, take my yoke. Hey, I'm not going to put nothing heavy on you. Gentle, lowly. Being obedient is a light thing. It's not burdensome. So we have to be mindful of that. When we are sinning, it's a burden. the burden. Because now we're worrying about the death. We're worrying about the consequences of being disobedient. We're worrying about the consequences of missing the mark. The old Shore said he come in, he comes to save us. He comes to save us. He comes to lighten that burden. He comes to help us to make that solid choice, that be obedient. See, because that's what he was. He was obedient unto death. He laid his life down for our sake so that we can have an opportunity to make it back into the garden. Then from there, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this goes back all the way back to God. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and the perfect will of Yah. See, through our obedience to the Torah, through our obedience and paying attention to the goodness that Yahushua has done in this world, the examples that he's shown. If we do the same thing, then we too will be pleasing and good and perfect again. Why? Because Yahushua is perfect. And he performed the perfect will of Yah. From there, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And it's something we read before. And it reads, can you still hear me out there? Can you still hear me out there? And it reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before Yahweh, to the throwing down of strongholds. We've read that before. So in order for us to defeat Satan, not be engulfed in his toil, not be engulfed in wondering if we're going to die because of our sins, we have to put those things in their right place. Controlling them, maintaining our, as it says, dealing with the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is monitoring your behavior. And so we have to get that in order. And then it leads to all other things. And from there, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And it reads, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Yah did send his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. So right here is letting you know that sacrifice that he mentioned early to Adam, that he came down, he sent his son down in sinful flesh, and condemned sin in the flesh. So he overtook it. John 14:6 reads, Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as we read in the Lost Books of Eden, the only way we can get back to the Father is through the Son, Yahushua, who laid his life down, who was that perfect sacrifice, unblemished, and offered him up, offered himself up as that perfect sacrifice, redeeming his brother, Adam, redeeming humanity, or giving humanity an opportunity to redeem themselves from the sinful nature, the carnal nature in which we were born into. And from there, I went to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And it reads, "But Yah, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Yahushua. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Just want everybody to just think about some things that were spoken today in regard to salvation and understanding what Yeshua has done for us. And that, like Paul say, let us be a daily sacrifice, laying our life down, getting rid of the person that we are, that sinful man, and pulling in and then taking in that Holy Spirit, so that the light of Yahushua can dwell within us and shine forth, allowing the Father to see him in us, giving us an opportunity to help others to do the right thing and be saved. But we have to realize it is a choice. You have to choose to do the right thing, because as we know, we have to choose to live. Because if we choose to die, then we continue to be obedient. We continue to be disobedient. I apologize. Disobedient and missing the mark. But through Yahushua, we can hit the mark. Because he said, he's a lamp unto our feet. And he knows the way, because he has already done it. So, in conclusion, in understanding time, the Father has given us a path, a way, and what to do with the time that he has given us. As he said, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Everything else is everything in between is how you live your life. Now, do you want to live your life to death, or do you want to live your life so that you can live eternally and never die? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. So, you get an opportunity, go over all the scriptures that was talked about from time up until this one, salvation, and understand that there's other things that shows you the path of salvation. Like if you sit down and you study the different feast days and connect them, you will see path of salvation is taught within that. Many different things that the Father has in his word that shows you different things that he has done, different things that he has put in place so that man, that humanity can get right. But we have to always remember that he has chosen Israel, the true Israel, the one who has the law, statutes, and judgments, testimony of Yahushua, they are the ones who are supposed to be the light to the world. The ones who are following the Lamb wherever he should go. The one who is searching out the scriptures so that they can have a better relationship with him. Because the Father loves Yahushua, his only begotten. And we want that spirit of the only begotten to be a part of us. So that when he comes back, we just connect with him and help continue the work. So, this is the conclusion of this segment of Can It Be That Simple? And I wish everyone a good Shabbat. And may the Father continue to open your eyes and bless you on this Shabbat with his presence. May he help shield you all. May he give comfort to those who need comfort. May he give strength to those who need strength. May Yah be what you need him to be on this day. Giving him his praise, giving him his honor. We pray in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua, HaMashiach. Amen. To all who's listening, have a pleasant slumber and shalom.